Osiris.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
This is Peter Wong. I'm originally from the Ivory Coast, and right now I'm releasing a new album called Come Back to Me.
Sweet rainbow, I love you. Wonderful baby, I love you so.
You know, for folks who didn't know, you know, you had a pretty important place in the African music scene, to the point where when Nelson Mandela was released from prison, you know, you were a part of that moment.
I was a history teacher in the Ivory Coast, but we knew from school, from the study, we knew about the apartheid regime. So Nelson Mandela is an icon in the fighting against the apartheid regime. In 1984, in the early 80s, this topic was a really, really hot topic in Africa, around the whole continent. So it was a good idea to write songs as a musician about on this topic. That's what we did. But I never knew that my song would be picked to celebrate his freedom. Yeah, the day he was freed from the prison, we were watching. It was a huge event in all over Africa.
Yeah.
We were watching it through the television. And at some point, I heard the music playing on the radio, African chants. You know, I never knew that it's going to come there.
Yeah,
it was playing on the radio. At the same time, Mandela was walking out of the prison of the Robben Island. At the same time, they heard the music on the BBC. Say, oh, okay, so I'm the luckiest musician. that's what happened.
Once again, tuned in to the show on the road. I'm your humble audio adventure guide, Z Lupitin, and as you heard, we get to dive into the music of Ivory Coast-born singer-songwriter and traveling troubadour Peter One. Now, if you can hear the track behind my voice right now, it's called African Chant, a collaboration between his longtime partner in crime, Jess Sabi. He grew up with Jess in Ivory Coast, and the music they created was a really intricate fusion of Ivorian village songs with the folk music, soul, and rock and roll that they grew up listening to on the radio. Simon and Garfunkel, Dolly Parton, Otis Redding, Aretha Franklin. But if you asked Peter how he would describe his music, well, it's country music, isn't it? After seeing what Beyoncé has done with their new record and how black artists from all around the world are making their own version of country music, I think it's perfect timing that we get to talk to Peter about his new record. We often think that we only live one life, but really, isn't it about 9 of them? Peter One was working as a history teacher, and then he puts out the classic record, Our Garden Needs Its Flowers, with Jess Abi, and all of a sudden they're playing stadiums across West Africa. But as his native Ivory Coast broke into war, in the 90s he had to come to the United States and start all over. and for decades he worked as a nurse, hoping that his music would be rediscovered. And then last year, at the age of 67, he put out his major label solo debut, Come Back to Me. It's a work of art, and we're going to dive into it now. Here he is, Peter One. You never know the journey that folks take, and maybe music is something that disappears from one's life and then reemerges because it's always there, you know, in your heart and in your soul. And I know that you worked, you know, as a nurse for a long time. Tell me a little bit about growing up in Ivory Coast and how you discovered music as part of your life.
Okay, I've always been a music lover. Was singing from a very age young. Very young age. What I'm talking about. I was listening to music through the radio, mostly through the radio, and some people had you know, the vinyl players at the time. They would buy records, you know, and play outside for the kids to come dance around and enjoy music.
Right.
From that early age, I started loving music. I was singing whenever I have friends around, we sing, we dance, and I was mostly interested in singing. When I got to high school, I met friends also who were interested in music. They used to play guitar and I sing. And one of them, particularly, he was a very great guitar player and very good singer also. And he happened to be, you know, this kind of music that I love too. Slow music, you know, natural music, what we later found out that was called folk music, country music. My friends around, my neighbors, you know, people would come from other areas to come to my house. So we play music, like on weekend like that. We play late, we stay late playing guitar. And when everybody's tired, they leave the guitar in my house.
Yeah.
And later when I went to college, I met my friend Jess Savi, we started playing together, and very soon we start doing radio shows, television shows. Until 1985, we met somebody who was interested in our music, and he decided to put his money down to, you know, take us to the studio. That's how we released our first album, 1985.
The year I was born, you know, that's the beautiful thing about, I think, the internet. You know, people can talk trash about the digital revolution took away the value of music and art, except there's no way that I would have been able to discover your music. And it touched me. Something about the record that you mentioned, it just kind of came into my consciousness here in my little living room in LA. And now we're talking you in Nashville. It's just an amazing thing how the separation between people and music, the gap can be closed so quickly now. Hey, yo. Hey, yo. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your parents and what was it like growing up? The town was Bonnewa, is that what it's called?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. My parents were farmers. They were farmers. They were not rich. And we used to live a very, very, it was a very modest family. We loved music. My mother used to sing. She was a very good singer, even though she had never tried to be professional. That.
Right.
She was just here for our pleasure at home. Yes, maybe I got it from her. Actually, we're living in a suburb of Bonnewa called Ono. It was a little town with one particular thing. There were one factory, a French company built a factory there, and they had a large plantation of pineapple. So the factory was making, you know, pineapple cans, juice, paste,
right.
jelly, all kind of product from pineapple. And the whole area was living around that factory.
You know? Yeah. Company town. What,
exactly. Factory town. So it was so strong that when the factory shut down in 1984, the place, you know, has been dead since then.
When you started playing guitar and singing, and then you developed into, you know, a more professional artist, did you have a certain troubadour style that you were trying to match, you know, like Gigi Vicky from Benin or Aboa Latine, you know, from Cameroon? Was that sort of the style that you wanted to emulate?
Exactly, yeah. I embraced the music. I loved the music from very young age. Even though we had a large variety of music around, playing through the radio, through the, you know, the vinyls, you know, we had all kind of music from around Africa, from Europe, from the US, all that. But Aboa Latine and Gigi Vicky, they influenced me very early. So that when I start playing guitar, I meet with my friend, we play the classic, we play Congolese music, we play some French songs, all that. But when I'm by myself, I go back to what I like, you know.
Right.
I learned how Gigi Vicky was picking his guitar, the Aboa Latine, how he was doing guitar and harmonizing vocals, all that. Yeah. I developed that by myself.
Je suis le gentleman Vicky Gigi. J'aime beaucoup voyager. Et je chante partout les merveilles de l'Afrique. L'Afrique est un beau pays, le soleil brille tous les jours. Et moi, je m'y promène, la guitare sous le bras.
Do you use a certain tuning? Do you have a certain tuning that is your sort of favorite you know, string pattern?
Yeah, just the normal tuning. We didn't have tuner at that time. We tuned by ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, we tuned by ear. Long as this is tuned, you know, all the strings are tuned, you know, together, that's fine. You don't even worry if you're on the standard.
That's like when I tried to play along to like Jimi Hendrix records when I was playing bass when I was in high school. A lot of those Jimi Hendrix songs were tuned in between like E and F, or you know, somewhere like in between two keys, so like I could never play along with it. It was like this in some mystery key. How did you first hear American music? I know you were inspired by Simon and Garfunkel and Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Like, how did that reach you?
Yeah, American music was very popular in my country at that time. Yeah, we started hearing American music very early. All these old singers, James Brown, Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett, Aretha Franklin, and later on the younger generation, everybody, we knew them from long time. But country music, folk music, this music wasn't popular. It wasn't. I came across some Simon and Garfunkel music in around 1974.
Right.
I was in high school already. I heard The Boxer through the radio one morning. We're preparing to, you know, to go down to the class, and the radio was playing that song. It resonated with me right there.
Yeah.
Ever since, love the music. Yeah, love the music.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest.
Isn't it amazing how that song, you know, can really hit you in this place so far away from that music's origin, right? You know,
yeah.
In New York City, you know, where Simon and Garfunkel recording it. And that song is pretty important to my life. My mom basically named my sister Lila, partially because they sing Lila Lila over and over again. That song, it's like one of her favorite songs. And then when my daughter was born a year ago, the surgeon, the like doctor who was birthing my daughter, had that song playing by chance in the operating room with my wife. You know, I mean, it's just like amazing how songs continue through time. That song is probably what, 40 plus years old now?
Yeah, maybe 50 years old. Music is magic. Music is magic. I couldn't understand what it was saying. Even now, I'm not sure if I understand the whole, you know, the whole meaning of the song. But it was touching me. It was touching right. Just the music, the melody, you know, how the harmonies are done. You know, that's the magic of music.
So obviously, you know, there was some political turmoil where you were, and you came to the States, I think, what, was it 94 or around then?
I left my country, came here in 1995.
And I love that line that you came into New York City and, you know, had this romantic, you know, story in your mind. You know, obviously New York City is going to be this big, beautiful metropolis. And, you know, yes, mid-90s New York was pretty grimy. You know, what was that first image of the States that you saw? Like, what was the first feeling that you had when you got here?
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed because Abidjan is a little bit like Manhattan, you know.
Yeah.
But New York is so huge, so noisy, so crowded that I didn't like it. You know, it's a good place, very good place, very good. You know, that's the ideal place for business, the ideal place to see things. I used to say, if you're looking for something, you're trying to find something in this world and you can't find it in New York, you can't find it nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's a great place, but I didn't like it because I'm a country boy, you know.
Yeah.
I don't like the noise. I don't like the place where there's no green. It's all concrete. Metals, all that, cars, noises. No, I don't like it. So I spent just 1 year in New York.
Let's dive into the new record, Come Back to Me. You know, that first track, Sherry Vico, you know, you have that refrain. You know, the idea I think you put forth in this record, obviously, is you're almost calling to yourself in the past or calling to all these different versions of yourself and bringing them finally into the light, you know, because there was a long time where you weren't able to share your music and in your talent and your passion, which must have been painful, you know, but there's just such a release of joy in this record, especially that first track. Tell me a little bit about Sherry Vico to start.
Sherry Vico is a love song. It's a love song that I've been... written a long time ago. I used to sing that back home already. And it's just, love song, like the usual love song. Vico, Sherry is a sweet baby in French, you know, Sherry. And Vico is that short for Victorine, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, sweet or baby Victorine, come back to me. And I don't know what happened between you and I. And my parents have been saying that you're not going to come back. I beg you to come back. You know, it's just a love song.
I'm wearing Vico, yeah, it don't it. Come back to me. Oh, ça va faire, oh, it don't it. Come back to me.
this record was produced, which is really cool, by Matt Ross Spang, who you know, has worked with Jason Isbell, John Prine. And you actually got to open for Jason Isbell at the Grand Ole Opry, of all places. That must have been a fascinating evening, and I wish I could have been there. What was that like playing on that stage?
Oh, yeah, it was a dream coming true. Actually, the opening for Jason was at the Ryman. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that was in October, and the Opry was last week. Yeah, it was last week. It was really, really, I would say, very great experience to me, because when I came to Nashville, was dreaming, I was looking forward to be on the stage there one day. When the opportunity came, I said, God, I had my prayer. So it was a really, really good experience to me.
Well, it's been really cool seeing folks like Alison Russell, who I've been a big fan of for a long time, and Birds of Chicago, who I had on the show, and now her solo work, you know, be able to become an outspoken voice in both music and on the political stage. And you got to have her on that final track, Birds Go Die Out of Sight. Tell me a little bit about that track and what was like working with her.
Okay, this song is about it's a true story. A friend of mine who was living here and left, he went back home, and he didn't make it. It didn't last 3 months, he passed. The way African immigrants, most African immigrants, not all of them, most African immigrants, they what they think about, you know, migrating here. They think about coming here or in Europe, in the Western country, just to make money quick, and go back.
Mm.
90% of the time, they end up finding it's not that easy to make money quick and go back. So you have to invest yourself. You have to make plans. You have to strategize. You have to organize. And Alison, she did a great job on that song. A great job. That's her own creativity, the way she was feeling it.
It
came out really great.
Things have changed.
Things have changed.
You have changed. You've been here for more than 20 years. Don't go home.
Don't go home.
Don't just get up and go.
Don't go home.
There's nothing for you there.
Nothing for you there.
Nothing for you to say.
Nothing for you to say.
Oh, yes.
The irony is, I think, in the United States, that the idea of the American dream is really made by immigrants like you, who come here with completely different stories and backgrounds, and who apply themselves and really work hard and make this country this beautiful melting pot of cultures and influences and cuisines. And, you know, that there's many things about this country that I'm deeply ashamed of, right? And then there's the thing I'm most proud of, that I love, is that we are everybody. The sacrifice that folks make to come all the way here from around the world is just hard to comprehend.
The American dream is that hasn't started in the 60s. It started way in the 16th centuries.
Yeah.
Way back in the 16th centuries. People were fleeing from Europe and to come to the U.S. because they heard that there's a lot of gold in here. There are lands. Yeah, they can settle. They can have their own place, their own land to, you know, to have their own farm. And then when they got here, when they got on the East Coast, they hear that there's a lot of gold in the Central America. When they get to the center, they say, there's a lot of gold in the mountain in the west. It's been
they keep chasing it.
Exactly. Yes. The American dream, they keep, and when people come to this kind of place where they come from different places, they end up, you know, sitting together, they built a new you know, a new nation, a new place, of course, they have to be open to other people coming, following them, you know. You cannot just come in and say that, okay, this is my country. Where are you from? Well, why do you come in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're an immigrant yourself.
On my own, I came a long, long way, and you came along in my home. On my own, I came a long, long way, then you came along in my home.
Well, that song you have, On My Own, you know, you speak about that long, long, long trip that you've been on, right? I've come a long, long way, you know. Do you feel like your voice and your songwriting now is completely different from when you were a young man? Or do you feel like it's just an updated, more evolved version of your younger self?
Oh no, it has evolved. It has evolved because of from experience, from what I've been witnessing, what I've been through, all that, and from the music experience that I had. Also, the language, you know, the way I write songs is different from the way I used to write songs. When I got here in Nashville, I went to different meetups, you know, songwriters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned a lot from them too. Learned a lot from them. So I'm not writing the songs the same way like before. Mm. And this song is a cry from a man that been through domestic violence.
Mm.
For long. He's saying that it's been it's been a long, long way. Came from a long way, and this wife came with him, and he's not expressing everything. He's not saying everything, but the cry is he will never love again. It's gonna take for him to love. It's gonna take time to trust somebody. Obviously, because he was hurt by the way she treated him after he came all through that, after accepting her in his life. That topic is something that we need to bring up also.
Mm.
Topic of domestic violence toward men is something we don't talk about.
It'll take time to go through my pain. It'll take time for me to love again. It'll take time to go through my pain. It'll take time for me to dress again.
What was it like hearing the different musicians work on your record? I know you had Pat Sassone from Wilco and Paul Niehaus from Calexico. You know, there's a really cool combination of acoustic instruments that blend with your sound. You know, I know folks like Ry Cooder and different musicians have always loved sort of combining, you know, whether it be Cuban music with American blues music, music from Mali and Africa with American soul and funk. You know, it's like they've been talking to each other across the ocean for a long time. What was it like kind of combining those different influences together?
Yeah, that was my goal. That was my goal. You can see it in Chervico and Staring Into the Blues. Yeah. And also Bonané tried to mix a little bit of the African beats, African instrument, you know, to the way people, because all these musicians, they're all from Nashville here. They're all from Nashville.
Right. The
Nashville music culture. But that's so I was trying to bring in something new, you know, and they were open to it. They were open to it, but they were not totally, you know, involved in other beats, African music yet. But for now, what they did is enough. It's enough. If I have the chance to work with them again, I think we add more things, you know, blend it a little bit more. Of course, add other instruments from Nashville. But my idea is to, you know, to mix a little bit more of, you know, blend a little bit more of the African, you know, influence in the, you know, folk and country music.
Fais-moi cette musique qui enlève, qui emporte. Et oui, cette musique qui enlit. Yeah. Quand moi j'entends le piano claque les notes, et que j'entends le saxo qui vrombit, ronfle le dos.
Talking about living three or four lives in one, right? You come to the States, and you know, you have to make your way. And how did you find nursing, and how did that sort of come into your life?
Oh, I came to nursing because I wasn't happy in teaching.
Mm.
Okay, I was a teacher back home. When I left, I didn't want to teach anymore. But when I got here, I came here, I decided to, you know, follow my dream. My interest was music, learn about music, you know, set up my own business, buy the equipment and go back home, set up my own business. As time went by, things were getting more and more difficult here, and back home wasn't getting better. So I decided slowly to stay. And I found the easiest job I could do was teaching, because that's what I was used to. So I found a position in a high school, starting teaching French. So I was doing that while I was trying to finish my master in the University of Delaware, so I could start, you know, at least the teaching process in college. But on both sides, I was disappointed. I was disappointed by the way the students behave toward the teachers.
Mm.
Yeah, very disappointed. So I decided to quit that dream and find something else that would allow me to make a good living, something that would allow me to have a job anywhere, at any time.
Yeah.
That's how I thought about nursing, because of the shortage in that field. Yeah.
Now, when you sing on this record, you're singing in English and French, and also in, was it Guro? Is that the language
you grew up speaking? Yes.
When you are writing songs down, or you're starting to put together the verses and the chorus, do you think in one language first and then sort of translate for other people? Or do you say like, no, this is going to be in French, this is going to be in English, this is going to be in Guro?
Oh, no, I decide from the first step of the song. I know if I want to sing that in French or English or Guro. Yeah. This is set up from the very first step.
Yeah.
Yeah. The topic, it comes, you know, with the melody. Yeah, the topic and the melody, I decide from the first step, I decide to sing in either in Guro, in French, or in English. Yeah. It depends. The topic to me, when the topic is something that need to be heard, need to be, you know, sent all over the world, I think the English language is the better vehicle. You know, something that is addressing an issue in my country, I will sing it either in French or in Guro.
Mm.
Because French is the official language in my country, and French is also spoken in more than 15 countries in Africa and other countries around the world. Some melody will fit better in Guro. The melodies come to me in different ways. I don't know where they come from, but they just come to me, and I build from there.
Do you think that songs come from some higher spirit, some otherworldly supernatural power that only some people can hear? You know, because in a way, if everyone was hearing songs all the time, we'd all probably be going crazy. Yeah. It's only a few of us that can, you know, have the luck or the curse to be able to hear these songs from, you know, the air. And I think that for me, you know, as a songwriter, I don't have a choice in the matter, right? I have to hear it, and I have to get it out, or I'm not really living my life. You know, it's like I'm going to be dying inside. Everything has to stop. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm sure when you get a song going, it's tough when you're like driving or something. You know, luckily you can sing it into your phone or something. But when a song comes to you, what do you do first? Do you write down words? Do you sing it to yourself as a melody?
Yeah, when the song comes, I think you hear it in your mind, you hear it in your like a voice first, and try to repeat it a couple of times, so not to forget. If I have my phone nearby, I record what I'm singing, what I'm vocalizing, so I won't forget it. I put it down, and then I start working on it later. To me, it comes from two different sources. I don't know if I'm right or not, but to me, that's where it comes from. First source is your memory. Memory from what you hear around, what your memory has kept inside, you know. And the second is from some philosophy called the natural archives, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some kind of archives in the air. Where everything has been kept like the memory of a computer, you know.
Right.
Yeah, something in the air that is keeping everything that has been created vocally or sound wise or all that, everything. And it's probably from there that you get this sometime this thing coming to your ears, to your mind. And I think that's what it is. You don't know. But the thing is, when it comes to you, if you don't put it down or you don't repeat it several times so you won't forget it, if you put it aside, you will never retrieve it. Never.
Yeah, it's gone. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Gone forever. Yeah.
Tu es en face de moi, mon âme est tout ivre de joie. Car toi tu es en face de moi, ton charme me laisse sans voix.
Where did La Petite come from?
Oh, La Petite is another song. It's a love song. I was I had a friend who was always fighting with his girlfriend, always.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were always fighting, and they were living together, right? And every time they fight, she will pack up and go back to her parents.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, he's gonna go beg her to come back. When she comes back, couple of days later, they will fight again. So it was happening all the time. And he will come to me and tell me, she's gone. What was her name again? This girl. Okay, she's gone. Please come help me. We ask her to come back. So it happened a couple of times. I end up telling him, oh, listen, I'm tired of doing this for you, because you got to take care of your business yourself. So
yeah.
That's what Papai inspired me this song because he was saying he don't know why he loves this woman. He's going through too much with her, but he just can't help it. He has to go back. He loves her. You know, that's what inspired me that song.
Des histoires, toujours des histoires à n'en point finir. Et oui, et non, et voilà, je me console sur ma guitare. Des histoires, toujours des histoires, moi, je voulais en finir. Eh ben, j'ai trouvé
Well, I think, you know, the complications of long-term relationships are something that as we obviously get older, we tend to write about more. Obviously, you cover the painful, you know, divorce and thing that, you know, something that it's like you don't want really people to know about, but it is such a part of your story at some point that you have to tell your side of it and explore that in your writing. Was that painful to write about, or was it something that you had to do to process?
Yeah, of course. When you hear these kind of stories, you it reminds you some of the things that you've been through yourself. Not always the same way, but in some part of it, when you go back, you know, reflect on what you've been through, you find the right words.
Mm.
You find the right word, the right melody to sing about it. In other terms, you cannot write a meaningful song without having the experience of that, you know, of the story. So I like to write about true stories.
Which song on the record do you think most dives into that sort of that pain and that feeling?
Staring into the Blues.
Mm.
I didn't write that song. A friend of mine wrote that song, but he had exactly the same story.
Friend of mine, tell me how you've been. It's been 16 years, a lot of change since then. Nobody's like you, no one can really fill your shoes. So gentle and kind, I hate to find you staring into the blue.
What was it like teaming up again with your old collaborator, Jess Abi, for Bona Ani? I mean, it's an amazing partnership that's lasted this long, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've been always in touch. We haven't cut off everything. We've been in touch, and when the album, the I've Got It Needed Fire, was reissued in 2018, we toured a lot with large stages across the U.S. So when I got this deal, I thought that it would be a good idea at least to put one song, even though we haven't been writing songs together for a long time. It would be a good idea to bring up one of the old songs we used to sing.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be another way to show the public what we used to do and what we can still do together.
Have you gone back to visit certain parts of Africa, or is it too difficult to get back over there?
I went back this past November and past May. I went back twice in 2022 to the Ivory Coast.
How is the state of things there right now?
Things are changing slowly. Of course, there's no war anymore. The political ambience is worrisome. People are complaining. Even when you walk in the street, you talk to people, the country is really, really deeply divided.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, deeply divided. Familiar. Here in the United States, I don't think you really hear it. You don't feel it here if you don't watch the television. If you don't follow the news, you will hear that through the news, the TV, the radio. But in the street, you don't. In Abidjan, you feel it in the street.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's life or death sometimes in these countries, you know.
Yeah. You talk to people in the street, they will say, but of course, they're not going to go to the television or the radio station to say, but you because of the media are very, very, very tightly controlled.
Mm.
So they cannot express themselves through these channels. But in the street, you feel it. You feel it, you hear it, and it's really sad. That's one of the reasons why I wrote that song, Kavudu. Yeah, Kavudu is my contribution to bringing people back together, to reconcile, and stay one people, stay together.
He said, me see, me no fa, pa I da sasa, dia we na kuzi, I ku si, we va, we do. He said, me see, koti fua, pa I da fa, pa, dia we na kuzi, I ku si,
if you could throw a big festival or a gathering maybe back in Ivory Coast, and you could bring any artists that you have admired over the years onto the stage with you to play, who would you play with?
From the US or from Africa?
From anywhere.
Ooh, I would think of more American musicians. Yeah, if I can have Simon Garfunkel. Ooh la la. If I can have a Bruce Springsteen. Not that but his music is so popular, but he's a master of the stage.
Yeah.
He's the master of the stage. I watched his show when he came to the Ivory Coast through that. They had a world tour. World tour, I think it was 1987 or 1988, something like that. And it was like 10 different musicians. Bruce Springsteen, from the US, we had Bruce Springsteen. We had Tracy Chapman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We had Peter Gabriel. We had Sting. I think Sting is from England, right? But it's American now. Yeah, we had Sting. We had Johnny Clegg from South Africa. He was really, really popular at that time, really popular in the West Africa, for sure. And that's where I saw Bruce Springsteen for the first time on stage. Not many people, very few people knew him in the Ivory Coast.
Mm.
But when he got on the stage, he killed the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he broke everything. After him, everything was quiet. It was like that was the end of the show. Yeah. So I would bring him. I would bring people like Sting, people of the masters of the stage,
Well, what's amazing is that most people, you see bands or artists that, have been playing since the 70s, 80s, and they're, they're getting older, they're sitting down on a stool. Bruce Springsteen is going every night like he's 25 years old. He's sliding across the stage, he's jumping up on the piano, you know, whatever his workout, you know, routine is at the gym. And I think we all need to be practicing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the younger generation, they have a lot of energy, a lot of creativity too. But we've seen, at my age, I've seen the older ones and I see the younger ones. I'm still impressed by the old ones. Not that I don't like the young one. Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen more.
Yeah,
I've seen more. So, you know, I'm kind of, nostalgic. Yeah.
Well, I'm really impressed that you've, you know, kept the fire alive and that folks are finally, recognizing your artistry and this record can really hopefully travel throughout the world. And if you're ever in LA, you know, we'd love to come see you live, and maybe I'll see you at one of these festivals. I know you're playing up in Monterey in October. That looks like a really cool festival.
Yeah. I would be glad to meet you there. Thank you.
Well, keep up the good work, man. We'll catch each other some of these days.
Thank you. Thank you, Zach. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you.
Come back to me. Oh, son of a bitch. Oh, he don't live. Come back to me. I'm well and be cool. Yeah, he don't live.
All right, big thanks to Peter One for getting on the line with me. PeterOneMusic.com is his website. That new record, Come Back to Me, on Verve Forecast is available wherever you buy tasty records. And please, buy it on vinyl. Do something cool for yourself. Our previous episode with Taj Mahal is live wherever you listen to podcasts. If you like what I've been doing here on the Show on the Road podcast, please send me a note on Instagram, Show on the Road Podcast, or leave us a kind review on the Apple Podcasts page. As always, the Show on the Road is written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Z Lupitin, and we are a part of the Osiris Podcast Network. We'll see you soon out on the trail. Stay safe and be cool.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.